Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen. Chapter 1. Old Mr. Dashwood never married. He lived on the family's large estate in Sussex, named Norland Park, together with his sister, who was his constant companion and housekeeper. But her death came 10 years before his own, and to compensate for her loss, he invited his nephew, Mr. Henry Dashwood, and his family to live with him on the Norland estate, which Henry would inherit after the old man's death. Their company, especially the cheerfulness of the children, gave Mr. Dashwood comfort in his old age, and the family lived there happily for a number of years. Mr. Henry Dashwood had a son by a former marriage, as well as 3 daughters by his present lady. The son, a steady, respectable young man, was amply provided for by the fortune of his mother, which had been large. He had added to this amount by his own marriage. Therefore, the inheritance of the Norland estate was not so important to him as to his sisters, for their fortune was only small. Their mother had nothing, and their father had only £7,000 at his disposal. The old man died, and the estate was left to Henry Dashwood. However, it was left to him only on the condition that when he died, it would then be inherited by his son John, who is the old man's favourite. The girls received only £1,000 each, which was a great disappointment to Henry. Henry himself died only 12 months later, and so £10,000 was all that remained for his widow and daughters. Before he died, Henry Dashwood sent for his son and asked him to look after the interests of his wife and daughters after his death. Mr. John Dashwood, though he could be rather cold-hearted and selfish, was in general a well-respected man who conducted himself with propriety, and he promised to do everything in his power to make them comfortable. Unfortunately, his wife, Fanny, was a strong caricature of himself, more narrow-minded and selfish, and she exercised a malign influence upon him. John Dashwood resolved to provide his sisters with a gift of £1,000 apiece. He felt that he could spare so considerable a sum with little inconvenience, and was pleased by his own generosity. No sooner was his father's funeral over than Fanny Dashwood, without sending any notice of her intention to her mother-in-law, arrived at Norland with her child and their attendants. No one could dispute her right to come. The house was her husband's from the moment of his father's death. But from the beginning, her behaviour was rude and offensive. She had never been a favourite with any of her husband's family, but now they found her so despicable that Mrs. Dashwood wished to quit the house for ever. Mrs. Dashwood was persuaded to stay by her eldest daughter Eleanor, who advised her not to risk offending her brother. Eleanor, though only 19, had an excellent heart and possessed a strength of understanding and a coolness of judgment which qualified her to counsel her mother. Mrs. Dashwood was a good woman, but had never learned to govern her feelings, and had a tendency to be imprudent. In this respect, Eleanor had a knowledge her mother had yet to learn. Eleanor's younger sister, Marianne, was clever, but eager in everything. She was everything but prudent, and the resemblance between her and her mother was strikingly great. Margaret, the other sister, was a good-humoured girl, but she had already imbibed a good deal of Marianne's romance without having much of her sense, and at the age of 13 was not yet equal to her sisters. Chapter 2. Mrs. John Dashwood now installed herself as the mistress of Norland, and her mother and sisters-in-law were degraded to the condition of visitors. Her husband treated them with kindness, and really pressed them to consider Norland as their home. Mrs. Dashwood was happy to accept his invitation, at least until she could find another house in the neighbourhood. Fanny Dashwood did not at all approve of what her husband intended to do for his sisters, and begged him to think again. How could he rob his only child of £3,000? "It was my father's last request to me," replied her husband, "that I should assist his widow and daughters. He was not in his right senses. He could not have wanted you to give away half your fortune." "He did not stipulate for any particular sum, my dear Fanny. He only requested me, in general terms, to assist them. As he required the promise, I could not do less than give it. Something must be done for them, whenever they leave Norland and settle in a new home." "Well, then, let something be done for them. But that something need not be £3,000. They already have £10,000 divided amongst them. And if they marry, they will have more. Indeed, to say the truth, I am convinced that your father did not mean for you to give them any money at all. I'm sure he only meant for you to help them, for instance, such as looking out for a comfortable small house for them, and sending them presents of fish and game. I'll lay my life that he meant nothing further." "Upon my word," said John Dashwood, "I believe you are perfectly right. My father certainly could mean nothing more by his request to me than what you say. When my mother removes into another house, I shall help her as far as I can."